Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Louis Hillen grew up the oldest of four siblings. His mother was a single mother, and his father was incarcerated in Oahu prison for most of his life. This caused Louis to grow up abusing alcohol and drugs from a very young age. A life of abuse can not only be demoralizing and degrading, it's destructive. But how do you come out of that? How do you regain focus in life and be able to put things together? Well, he's here to share about what Jesus has meant to him and what his relationship with Christ has done in his life. That's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you that whatever you're facing today, whatever difficult moment you might find yourself in at this time, that there is always hope in Jesus Christ, who loved Louis Hillen, who loves you, who loves me, loves us. He loves us so much, he died on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And my friends, today, the living Christ calls you with his arms, everlasting arms of love, reaching out to you, beckoning you, come. Would you open your heart to Jesus as Louis did? Louis Hillen attended church for the first time in 1997. He accepted Christ and never again used drugs. He began working on staff at New Hope Christian Fellowship. He oversees the prison ministry with a heart to minister to anyone who is in prison. He brings the message of hope in Jesus. He's married to Priscilla. They have two sons, Kunane, who is currently a student at Multnomah Seminary, and Levi, who is a freshman in high school. Louis, welcome to our show.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be here today. Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Waipahu. So I'm originally from Waipahu. And I grew up on Pupukahi Street. If you're familiar with Leeward's Drive-In, it's right across the street of Leeward's Drive-In. And mostly like a low-income area going down there. It's a little rough area growing up.
What was it like for you? You mentioned it being rough. Some would say, when you say little rough, that's an understatement because it may be a very tough place to grow up, to say the least. What was it like for you?
For me, as being the oldest in my siblings, you know, to trying to protect and was raised where, you know, if someone would do something to my brothers or my sister, as the oldest, I would have to go down and, you know, my mom would send me down to go and try to get our, you know, whatever they took away. So the neighborhood was rough where they would steal your skateboard or, you know, they just come up to you and they want to fight. Just a little low-income place. But, yeah, that kind of rough area.
What was your relationship like with your mom and dad?
So my mom and dad, they were trying to work it out, but as my dad was always incarcerated, so my mom separated from him, and you know we moved into that apartment area, and so my dad, I never hardly see him. Growing up, I seen him three times as a child, and as an adult, I seen him four times until he passed away. But my mom, I know she tried very hard, you know, trying to take care of us, trying to discipline us. But me as the oldest, I guess in that time I was hanging around with the wrong crowd and to the point where, you know, my mom couldn't handle me and she just decided to just let me go. So, you know, in the age of 15, I left home and I was homeless and trying to live on the streets and trying to survive. And I know I was going to school mostly for eat lunch and just fellowship with the guys and hang out at school.
But you were living on the streets.
Yes.
What was that like at the age of 15?
That was really tough. You know, I was living behind ABC Bakery. So you have Leewood Drive-In, and on the other end has ABC Bakery. So I had a little alley in the back. So I just to put the cardboard there and go to sleep at night, you know, all kind of noise, and go to school and started eating, you know, just go to school to eat. But it was really tough, you know, and my friend one time invited me to live with him. But after a week or so, as we was eating dinner, his mom mentioned to me, "Oh boy, when are you going home?" So my friend asked me to live with him, but he didn't tell the mom. So I stayed there, you know, a week, and then, you know, I had to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, I had nowhere to go, but just trying to survive out there.
So how would you eat lunch at school, but you would get hungry at other times throughout the day? So how would you eat?
So I would, you know, at times I would eat out of the rubbish can, but I would try, you know, started to, you know, steal and stuff. But yeah, I remember the first time, you know, I was so hungry and I seen a half donut in a dumpster, and I was like, oh man, that looks pretty good, but it's in a dumpster. And the first time took that courage, you know, just to get it out, trying to dust it off, and, you know, started eating it, and it's like, oh yeah, it is, it's pretty good, you know. Then just started, you know, surviving that way when you're really hungry.
Lee, who would you say influenced you most in those early years?
In those early years, let's see. You know, because my lifestyle, I guess the things that I did, and, you know, pretty much no one wanted to take me in. But I remember this one guy that really influenced me. I think I was 19. And he's seen me on the streets. And his name is Floyd. But his parents used to be my babysitter when I was young. And I remember staying there. And I remember him at one moment when I was young. And he was ready to go to work. And I used to call his mom Grandma. And she told him, Floyd, take the boy around the block. He had a convertible Mustang. And I take the boy around the block. He want to go. And I remember he saying that, oh, I'm running late to work. But anyway, she put me in his car and he spinned around the block and, you know, dropped me off and he went off. But I remember his mom telling him, if this boy ever need help, to help him. And at that time, 19 years old, with all my habits and my drug abuse and my alcohol, and I had a lot of violence, he took me in his home. But I remember the first day that I seen him, there was moving. And we was moving and packing things, and I had a little confrontation. He just got married like 3 years with his wife, and they had a stepson. But we had a little confrontation before I even moved in. And his wife was mentioning that, oh, I don't think we should have this boy with us. He seems a little violent and stuff. But he took me in, and he showed me love that I never seen or felt before. And I knew that he knew God, but he didn't force me to go to church or anything like that. But I remember one incident that you know, he helped me find a job. So I was working at a gas station. And he took me to the bank to open an account. But I remember one incident that I wanted to go shopping. And I asked to use his car. And he was a manager at Holiday Inn Airport. So he started work at 11. And I got work off of work at 2. So I used the car from 2:30. And he told me to be back home at about 10. So I took the car and I picked up my friends. We never went shopping, but we went joyriding. And we started drinking and doing drugs. And we got into an accident. But then we got the car home. It was totaled in a stall. And I remember using the intercom to call my auntie. I know my uncle wasn't at home. So she came down and she said, why you smash our car? She was really upset. And he came over there with the Holiday Inn van. And his wife wanted me out. She said, I don't want this boy here. And what he said at that moment really changed my thinking, and I felt something that I never felt before. And what he said, that I can buy another car, but I cannot buy another Louis. And he asked me if I wanted to go to the hospital. And I said, no, I'm all right. He said, well, and he told his wife, let the boy go upstairs, take a shower, let him go out, take a shower, and I'm going to talk to him in the morning. And before I went, he hugged me and he told me, boy, I love you. And I never felt that. And then when I went in the room, I was like, what was that? The next day he set me down and he said, boy, I'm here to help you, but you need to help yourself. I'm not going to kick you out. You're going to stay here. And I couldn't understand of what I did to his car and why I'm still there. And I respect him. I really loved him, and I felt that love from him. And he helped me, to get ahead. And then another moment where, for 1 year I had two jobs. And I opened a bank account. He helped me open a bank account. So I remember 1 year after, he asked me what was my balance in my account. And I said, well, I'm not sure what the balance is. So one day he said, Louis, you off this morning? I said, yes. So he took me to he said, let's go have breakfast. So he took me to the bank and he told me, go in and get my balance. So when I walked in the bank, I just stood in the bank. And I remember this lady coming to me and she was mentioning, oh, excuse me, you need help? Can I help you with anything? And I said, no. Oh, so she walked away and this gentleman came and said, oh, I'm the manager of the bank. You're going to do any transition? You have any business that you're going to be doing? I said, no. So I'm going to have to ask you to leave. So I went back and sit in my car and I told, I call him uncle. I said, uncle, I think I just go pack my bags and I go. And he said, why is that? I said, because the first day a year ago when you took me to the bank, I didn't put any money in. There's no balance. So he got a little upset. I said, what? Oh, this whole year you don't have to buy food? Or anything?
Let's got to take it from there, because this uncle, your uncle, is showing love in ways that you've not known. It comes through to me, Louis. It comes through to our listeners. I just can't imagine how someone can listen to the kind of love that is being expressed, shown to you, that it doesn't touch somebody. It touches people. And what is really happening, I think, as you share, is the love of Christ, even through your uncle, that touched you, that made a difference in your life. The love of Christ is touching someone today, right now, where they are in their life. That they matter to God. God cares. God has a purpose. God has not given up. And thank God, because you can get another car, but you cannot get another Louis. Stay with us. We'll be back with Louis Hillen.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
What difference can a little love do? You know, taking someone in, reaching out to someone who's lost. What difference can it make? Well, Louis Hillen can tell his story, and he's doing just that, about Uncle Floyd Portain. It wasn't a blood relative. It's like in Hawaii, we call it like a calabash uncle, but took him in. The family took him in. He even totaled his uncle's car. They went off. He borrowed it, took it. Didn't do what he said he was going to do with it. He did quite the opposite, brought back a car that was totaled. And Uncle looked at the car and said, you know, I can get another car, but I cannot get another Louis. Louis Hillen is in studio with us today. And I'm glad that you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. And if you're tuning in right now, or if you want to listen to this program in its entirety, you can do so at the Good Life Hawaii .com, the free podcast and other resources that we have, other shows that you can also listen to that I believe the Lord will use to touch your heart. Louis, Uncle Floyd took you to the bank, and after a year, he takes you back, and you have to come back and tell him, Uncle, I have no balance in the bank. The bank manager and one of the other officials, it wants to escort you out because you have no, actually, in a very real sense, no business being there.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What did Uncle Floyd tell you?
So I got in a car, and the first thing I told him that, Uncle, just let me pack my bags, and I want to leave. He said, oh, why is that? Because like you said, I had no balance. So he made that gestures, like, you know, he want to give me a whack and stuff, but he never did touch me, but he was upset. And he said, what's wrong with you? You know, from now on, I'm going to be taking your paycheck. I'm going to be giving you allowance. You know, and we went home and explained that to my auntie, and she was upset as well. So every paycheck.
By the way, auntie was very patient.
Yeah, very patient. Oh, thankful for that, you know. But yeah, so I gave my uncle a paycheck, and he just gave me allowance, you know, and I was wondering, wow, how come that's my money, you know, but I just did what he told me to do and
to trust him.
And then a year later, I was off one morning, and he said, oh, Louis, let's go and go to a used car lot, and the money that I've been taking from you, I have it right here. I'm saving it for you so you can get your own vehicle, your own car. And that was the first car I ever had. So we went down and I got my car and wow, I was like, wow, I never thought I would, you know, get a car, you know. And that's what he did. He blessed me with a car at that time.
How did you become a Christian?
So from there, when I was living with my uncle, I was working at the airport, and I met my wife. She was a leg greeter. So I was working for Sita Taxi, and she was a leg greeter. And so I was working at Sita Airport with my mom, and she was a leg greeter. We met there. And when I when we met, and my wife, she wasn't my wife, but my girlfriend, Priscilla, asked me to go live with her sister. So when I told my uncle, he was crying. He was like, what? No, tell you guys can come live with me. I said, no, we're going to live with her sister. So he was crying, you know, who's this girl going to take you away from me? So he was very hurt and, you know, crying. He didn't want me to leave, so we left. So I was married with Priscilla. We spent 2 years together as boyfriend and girlfriend, and we got married. And after 8 years of marriage, because of my alcohol and drug abuse, we was going to get divorced. And I was thinking to myself, oh, I have a six-year-old son. I don't want to go through the same thing that my dad did, because I know how it is not to have a dad around. So I begged her, you know, to take me back after 8 years, to take me back. You know, she wanted out. She didn't want me around. And she said, I gave you a million chances. Why should I give you one more? I said, please, I want to change. I'm not going to do alcohol. I'm not going to do drugs. Please take me back. And, you know, I remember my auntie, she passed away, but she used to tell me, how come when you drink or you do these drugs, you hano inu your wife, you make any kind to your wife and your family? And I always remembered that. But she took me in for that how many hundred times, you know, but she took me in, and I was sleeping in the parlor. She was sleeping in the room. But I remember this one day she came home. She's a hairstylist. And she said one of her clients invited her to church. And I said, okay, good. You go to church. But the day that she was, and her and my son was getting ready for church, I was watching them get ready. I had two thoughts came to my mind. The first thought, you know, like in the movies, you have the angel and the devil thought. So I had a thought saying, oh, you're going to be home alone. Maybe you can go do drugs, you know. And then I had another thought. Louis, if you don't go to church with your wife, it's like you're going to miss a train, a boat, or a plane to get someplace special. And it was tugging. And then I just mentioned to my wife, oh, I want to go to church with you guys. I said, okay, hurry up. Let's get ready. And then we went to church. You know, I go to church before, you know, weddings and funerals, but never attended a church service. So we went, and it was New Hope's second anniversary. It was at the Stan Sheriff Arena. So my wife's client waited for us there, met us at the arena. We went, and we sat in the church, and I was watching the service go on and the worship go on, and wow, all these people raising their hands, you know, and worshiping. And I remember standing in the middle of a long aisle, my wife and my son on the right side of me and her client. And on the left side, I remember this man and his five boys on my left side. And worship started going on. And for me, I haven't cried in years. You know, and the worship started going on. I tried to read and see what the word is. And all of a sudden, I felt something funny inside of me. And I felt weird. I wanted to cry, but I didn't want to cry there. And I was thinking of getting out of there. So I looked on my right, and I think, oh, the lady then raising their hands. I can't get out from that side. So I look on my left, and I see this guy holding his baby in one hand in the air. And I think, how am I going to get out of this place? Then all of a sudden, I started hanging on to that seat in front of me. I looked on my right, and I seen my wife crying. And then that was it. I just started crying like a baby. Didn't know why or what was happening inside of me. And then worship was done. You know, Pastor Wayne gave the message. And at the end, you know, when they asked if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my family, me, Priscilla, and, you know, my son was with us. We received the Lord that day. And that was the best decision I ever made in my life. You know, didn't know Jesus, didn't know who he was, but I accepted him that day. And then the next day, I remember it was Monday, we called the ministry center to find out what is our next step. And then we heard that there was baptism the following week. So the following Sunday, we got baptized. And then the third Sunday, I joined the Levites. I needed to hang around other brothers in Christ, people that don't drink or don't do drugs. So I joined the Levites. The Levites is the guys that set up the church. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Farrington High School on the lawn. There's all those tents. So I jumped in with that team, the Levites, setting up the church. And that's where I started to really grow in Christ, you know, meeting other brothers, learning how to pray, and learning how to be a man of God. So for me and this other brother, Al Kaihui, our responsibility was to go in the auditorium and mop the stage, sweep and mop the auditorium and vacuum. And these type of things I never did in my life, clean. You know, even for mopping, I didn't know how to mop. But as I started learning and growing,
there's a technique to it.
There's a technique to it. I was going straight, but he said, you got to go side to side.
You know? Side to side.
Yes.
It's a movement of the wrist.
Exactly.
Right?
And then what that taught me was to do that in my home. Hmm. You know, learn to clean my house too, you know. But I just started growing. And me and my wife, I remember we had so many resources in the church. And we signed up for a class called Building Your Marriage by Ken and Su Hong. And we grew from there. And then we got into another class is Cleansing Stream. Today they call it Life Change. Mm-hmm. It's a 12-week seminar. But it's a 12-week, it was Life Change. I mean, Cleansing Stream. And me and my wife went through it once. And then the second time around, we went through it. And as I was driving home, and my wife on the side of me, and she mentioned this to me that really touched my heart. And I was so thankful and grateful. She said, Louis, I'm beginning to trust you again.
Ooh.
And I'm ready to have another child.
Wow. You talk about restoration.
Yes.
You talk about being in a place where life is so disorganized. And you can't get a handle on it. I just, you know, Louis, right now, someone who is feeling as though it's, you know, just life is always slipping through their fingertips. They can't get a grasp on their life, can't manage things. There's a feeling of helplessness when one feels that way. But in listening to your story, what you describe is that it is possible through Christ to get back in the game of life and have a chance to be on the winning team. And it's motivating, it's inspiring and encouraging. And beyond that, as the Lord has restored you, he's laid on your heart something that perhaps even from the beginning, because of your background, because you know what it's like to be a child of one who is incarcerated, what life is like from that perspective. Well, he's given you a heart for, yeah, those who are in prison and their families. Some of them are listening right now. When we come back, you'll hear more from Louis Hillen. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there, Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Now, you've gone on and you've basically ruined your life, and your marriage is almost fallen into shambles. And yet, through that, you find Jesus Christ by going to a service. It's such a moving time. You're trying to hold back the tears. You can't get out. You're trying to get out of there so people don't see you in a condition of just sobbing. But you can't get out, and then you start to cry. And before you know it, you respond to the call of Christ, and you open your heart to Jesus. And then you get involved with ministry. For New Hope, it's called the Levites Ministry, and they set up the church every week. They're the ones who get everything mopping, sweeping, vacuuming, getting the church ready. And over time, your wife says, "Honey, I'm beginning to trust you again." And that is such a profound statement, because all the reasons for trust have been completely demolished up to this point. But now trust is being built up again. And when trust is being built up, hope is being renewed. And that's all attributed to the work of Christ in the life of, in this case, Louis Hillen, who's in studio today. You can find out more about him and about this program. You can listen to the show in its entirety if you're tuning in right now at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Louis, what did it mean to you when your wife said, "I'm beginning to trust you again"?
Oh, right at that very moment, I was driving, And when she mentioned that to me, it just brought tears to my eyes. And I know that it wouldn't have been done without Jesus Christ. And that just brought so much joy into my life. And to see, because my prayer was, because I always told my wife that I was going to change. But I never did it. So my prayer for a season was, Lord, please let my wife see that I change. So the Lord, I knew He answered that prayer. Because I didn't have to say. I said it many times. And I know she didn't believe my words. But I let the Lord work in me and let her see the actions that I'm really trying to change.
Let's take a moment there. Because I think it's a common a pattern that happens with believers who are in the process of transition. They know where they want to go, the life that they want to live. And people around them who knew what they were like before have a hard time seeing the connection because the words are good, but quite often the actions don't necessarily follow. How did you work through that in your life?
So that, I remember at times, you know, I would set up the church, you know, go with the Levites. I come home and I have my Levite shirt, and I would say or do something that reminds my wife of my past. And she would say, you know, you're not the same. You're still the same. Those guys don't know who you was or what you did. You know, so I didn't say anything at that time. I just go in a room and just cry before the Lord. And Lord, please help me to show my wife that I'm changing that way. But it took a process to let the Lord allow me to change, to be that different person. But then just knowing, you know, the word of God, you know. So my favorite scripture came from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. To trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him and He will make my path straight. So just starting to use the word to help me to change in that direction. And when my wife said that she wanted to have another child, I was like, yes, you know. So blessed to have her see and know that she can trust in me, but not only in me, but to trust in the Lord most of all.
You and Priscilla had your second child. It was about, 10 years?
Yeah, they're 10 years apart.
So Levi, your young one,
yes,
grew up knowing a father that knew the Lord.
Yes, exactly.
What difference do you think it made in Levi's life?
So my wife mentioned that, you know, she said, Levi, you have your best of your dad, you know. Mm-hmm. You had him when he was with the Lord already, you know. But my oldest son, you know, I accepted the Lord, he was 6. So there's things that I did, you know, in his life that before he left to college that we could, you know, rebuild and, you know, just talk about it and just let the Lord build that love to know that, you know, the things that I did to him in the past, you know, while I was on alcohol or drugs, that I'm very sorry. You know, I had a time for repent and ask him for forgiveness. So that that time and that moment was so special, you know, that I had that opportunity to do so.
Louis, you have a ministry now.
Yes.
That has a real heart. I mean, it touches me to see your passion, your heart for those who are incarcerated. So where did that passion come from, and what is it that God has put on your heart to do?
So the Lord has put on my heart to go into the prison and share the good news of Jesus Christ, to give the men, the women, hope that I receive from Jesus.
Where did that passion come from?
So that passion came from my dad being incarcerated half of his life and his brothers. And I remember because when I was with New, I'm still with New Hope, but when I was doing the homeless ministry, I felt the Lord calling me into the prison ministry for a year. But throughout that year, I was telling the Lord, I don't want to go into the prison ministry. I don't know what you want me to do in the prison ministry. And at that time, I couldn't see it. I didn't know why. But as the first day that I went into Halava Correctional Facility, The first day that I went in, I had opportunity to share with the men there. I had about 50 guys. And wondering why I'm there. I know my dad, my uncle's been incarcerated, but why am I there? You know, and as the men was leaving that chapel, and I was giving each other the knuckles to knuckles as they was leaving, the last three men out of that group, the first one came up to me and said, "Are you Junior?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I know your name very well, Louis Hillen. Me and your dad were bunkies, cellmates, for over 5 years. And just to let you know," and he poked his finger in my chest, "just to let you know, boy, your dad always talked about you. I wonder what my son is doing today," he would mention at times. And he's telling me some other stories that I never knew about my dad. Never thought that he was thinking about me or, you know, things like that. Then the second person, second to the last guy, said, "Hey, I was with your dad in Maui Correctional Facility. We spent years over there. I knew your dad in prison." Then the third guy said, "Wow, me and your dad, you know, we was in prison and I know him." And he was telling me stories that I never knew. That was the first day in prison, going in. And I was walking out of Halava. They have this street they call Main Street. Mm-hmm. And I was walking out of Main Street and I was like, "Lord, this is why you're sending me into prison. I want these guys to know you, that they can go home to their family, go home and rebuild their relationship with their kids."
There's something from an angle that is not often talked about, that I know is, it bubbles and burns in your heart when you communicate to those who are incarcerated, part of your message being that it is important for you, the people need you outside. What is that? When you communicate that to them, that it's important for you who are in prison to know that you are needed outside.
Yes. Yep. So it's very important for my brothers that are incarcerated, for my sisters that are incarcerated, that your family is part of your incarceration. You know, they hurt as well as they are incarcerated. The family hurt the same way. They feel the hurtness. They feel the separation. And I remember, you know, as a child thinking, what my dad is doing? But knowing that now I'm adult, you know, I'm a child of an incarcerated parent. And my heart, my passion is to go in and share with these guys and encourage these guys and disciple these guys that there is hope. There's a God that can redeem, that can restore your life. No matter where you at in your life, God will meet you right where you at. And to have that in their heart and in their mind, knowing that Jesus gives us a future, that they can be reunited with their children. And then they can see them as a new creation in Christ. And then they can have that that bonding back together.
Louis Hillen has a word. He's speaking to those who are incarcerated, who are perhaps listening right now. And as they're listening, the hope that you give them, Louis, that people are waiting. And when you come out, your life does not have to be stagnant and it doesn't have to go backwards. You don't have to go back to a pit of despair and live a life that is just destroyed again. But things can change.
Yes.
As Louis has experienced change, others have experienced the change by coming to Christ and surrendering their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, making Him, surrendering to Him as the Lord of your life. "God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'll be what you want me to be. I surrender my life to you." Would you surrender your life to Christ? That's the key to breakthrough. Louis Hillen will share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guest.
So
you hear people tell you to surrender your life to Christ and then you do it. You open your heart to Jesus and you surrender, and the Lord does a miraculous thing in your life, and you are so grateful for what God has done. You'd do anything for Him. And then the Lord says, now that you're settled, my child, now I want you to uproot and move to a new location because I'm going to use you there. How would you feel if God called you to do something like that? And you knew that it was going to be meaningful, not just to yourself and your family, but of course to many others. Well, if you've ever experienced that or thought about it, your heart will resonate with Louis Hillen, because that's exactly what he's doing. He's getting ready to make a transition. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. So glad you're with us. Louis and I are glad that you're with us today, and hope that you feel the love of Christ as you hear his incredible story. So, Louis, where are you going?
So, I'm going to Las Vegas, Henderson, Nevada. Actually, we're going to be out in Henderson, Nevada. So, my family's out there right now. So, I know my wife Priscilla is probably listening, but they're out there right now. Just went out before me, and she's staying with her sister.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do there?
So when I get there, my plans is to get connected with a church. So hopefully with New Hope Las Vegas, I'm trying to see if I can get connected there and to be a covering, we had a covering from them or a church out there. But my heart and my passion is to get into the prison in Las Vegas, and most importantly, to visit our brothers out in Arizona in Saguaro Correctional Center. Right now it's about over 1,500 Hawaii inmates that are there. Shipped from Hawaii to Arizona, and they serving their sentence there. So out there, got a lot of guys, they're doing a lot of sentence, a lot of time. They send them out there, so they're doing 10 years, over 5 years, and a lot of men out there. We've been out there a couple of times, but a lot of men out there I know from Hawaii, from Kalihi, or on the island, that's doing a life sentence.
So these are people you know.
Yes.
maybe grew up with, knew throughout the years.
Yes.
What's it like, from your perspective, for them to see someone like you? We've had Pastor Roy Yamamoto on, and then we talk about Camp Agape. But what do you think, how do you think they feel, what do you feel they feel when they see someone from Hawaii there to minister to them?
So I think what they feel is what we know in Aloha, in Hawaii, Aloha. They still feel the Aloha spirit. They feel that, they're not forgotten, but that, the local boys from Hawaii is visiting them. So, born and raised in Hawaii, and I just want to share Aloha with them. And most of all, just point them to Jesus, point them to our Lord and Savior, and just to share that there is hope. And there is a future that Jesus offers them.
Give us, Louis, if you can, an example of what a conversation is like if you have a one-on-one opportunity to talk to a brother who's incarcerated. What does that dialogue sound like?
On a one-on-one, so usually when I sit with a brother that is incarcerated, we just go, heart to heart, eye to eye, and just being real with one another, and sharing my struggles. They're sharing their struggles, but they're sharing my heart of, what Jesus did in my life, and just my heart one-on-one. And, they always want me to pray for them, pray for their cake, their children. Oh. They always ask for prayer for my sons or my daughters, and just pray for their wives. But they just importantly, they just want to see hope, and then explaining to them the process that it takes. It's not an overnight, but it's just surrendering, dying to yourself and letting Christ come in and take over and lead you. But just being, to me, as I go in and I sit one-on-one with a brother, just to be a brother to him, not that I'm better than him, not that I'm over him, but just to be one-on-one with him and sharing heart.
Let's take a moment. Someone's listening today and they are behind bars. They are locked up. Speak heart to heart with them. Give them a word of hope.
Well, for my brothers or my sisters that are incarcerated behind those bars, my heart and my passion is that you guys receive that hope. You guys receive Jesus Christ in your heart, because he will give you a future that you cannot even imagine. He can change your life totally around. And the only thing, you can't do it alone. You need Christ. I found that out for myself. I needed Christ to be the man I am today. To have his love, to love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. And he will give you that love to love others. And most importantly, to love yourself. To love yourself and to forgive yourself, no matter what you did. To forgive yourself, to love yourself. And Jesus Christ will give you that love to do so. And to know, for those of you that have kids out there, that your kids, even though what you did, but deep back in their mind, they know that you love them. Because I know my dad did wrong, and I know that he did love me. And I love my dad. I love my mom for taking care of us. But for my brothers out there, that there's hope. Never give up. Jesus Christ will give you that hope. For my heart and my scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. The hope that Jesus gives us never disappoints. I truly have disappointed people, and people have disappointed me. Same as you. You may disappoint your family. Your family may disappoint you, but Jesus will never disappoint you.
Louis, pray for them. We've got a couple minutes left. Okay. Pray for them.
Sure. Oh, glorious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are incarcerated right at this moment, right where they sit in their cell or in their marginals. Father, I pray that they hear you clearly. Father, I pray that you cover them from the crown of their heads, Father, to the sole of their feet. Anoint them, Lord. Father, show them and touch them right where they're at. Father, it's not by works or things that they need to do. All you want, Lord, is their heart. Their heart to be open to you. So, Father, I pray for them, Lord. Not only for them, I pray for their children. I pray for their family. And, Father, I pray that you just open doors that only you can open. And you can close doors that only you can close. So, Father, refresh their heart. Renew their mind in you, Lord Jesus. Father, you say in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." So my brothers and sisters, Jesus is knocking at your heart of the door. He wants to come in you and live with you. And Lord, I just pray for them. Anoint them and bless them. Thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity of sharing my heart. And most importantly, sharing you and pointing my brothers and sisters to you. It's in the beautiful and the matchless and powerful mighty name of Jesus Christ I pray and I say, amen.
Amen. I say amen with you, brother.
Amen.
Brother Louis. Louis, God has given you a grace of compassion, a grace of wholeness, and an ability to communicate his love heart to heart. I can see why he chose you to go, and why Priscilla is there and getting everything ready. And the Lord bless you with Kunani and Levi. What a blessed family you have, and what a blessing you are. Brother, thank you for being with us today. You have been a blessing to me and to our dear listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I hope that as you've heard Louis Hillen today share rare insights from his life experience, that you were touched by the love of Jesus. You know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, as Louis has just shared, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Louis Hillen. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.